There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up? This your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversation with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccans. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. The Hidden History of Assassins, Part 2, The Modern Day. If you have, through accident or design, not listened to the first part of this two-part series, please hold. Do your best not to get assassinated while you listen to part one. Things will make much more sense. So we'll give you a second.
Mm-hmm. Beware of the old man in the mountain as you do so.
He's bad news.
Yep. And through the magic of editing, you just listened to that episode. So as you know, in part one of the series, we explored the truth, the fact, the myth, the fiction about a strange secretive group today known as the Assassins. We also explored, more importantly, the bloody tactics that made them infamous. They were not the first people to use assassination tactics, and they weren't the last, but today we have to ask how much of their strategy has informed similar operations in the modern day. Spoiler, the answer is a lot. It's its own genre of conspiracy. These are active conspiracies that have existed since before you were alive and continued on a regular basis, at most likely as you listen to the show today. So here are the facts.
Yeah, as we said last episode, we discussed the fact that assassinations did not begin or end with that sect that existed for a time just outside of Tehran. Today, assassinations definitely still occur, and they have been occurring since the 1200s, when the group known as the Assassins were taken down by Mongols. So it's crazy to think about. The assassinations that were taken out by that group were mostly, if not all, very close to all, done with daggers in close combat, in secret, by usually an individual person. And think about all the technology that exists out there today that makes killing people easier.
Oh, yeah. Humanity. Same old dicks, brand new toys.
Whoa. Okay. That's a lot to unpack there. what did you talk about a couple episodes ago? Fusion bombs? You know, like the murderous wave of the future is here, boys.
Yeah, it's the Christmas Elmo of the intelligence community.
There's a really great scene in Toast of London, which we've talked, I think we're all fans of, where Toast's mistress, he's cheating, or she's cheating on her husband, who's Toast's nemesis, Ray Purchase. She got hired like as a subcontractor for the Department of Defense, and she's controlling drones and basically taking out blocks in like some, you know, Middle Eastern country. And she lets Toast take over for a minute. And she says, now only blow up the houses on the right side of the street. And then he comes back. He's having a good old time. She goes, oh, did I say the right side? I meant the left side.
Yeah. You know.
Yikes.
Well, and that joke, as we'll see, did not come from whole cloth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No, it did not. Because, you know, not only are the weapons of war being enhanced in their technology, so are the communication abilities, right? Which means, well, and also, you know, economic trade expands across the globe at this point, and all kinds of other possible conflicts arise from that and resource extraction across the world. So, I mean, you really imagine that there are all of these world leaders with competing interests, and they can see all the other world leaders out there. They can even talk to them if they wanted to, or maybe someone close to them. And maybe they think, you know what would be nice? If we could take out leader X in country Y so that we could get resource Z.
That's right. And you would assume that over the intervening centuries, at some point during the construction of various world orders, someone in one important room or another would have pitched something against assassination at some point. Surely someone would have said, hey, guys, you know, while I have you all here, I know we're almost done with the meeting, but we should make assassination illegal, right? Like, guys?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's make it illegal, which would prevent all of those assassins from doing it.
Yeah. Well, and that's a hard and long, well, that doesn't seem to be entirely true. According to a guy named Michael L. Gross, in a paper called Assassination and Targeted Killing, Law Enforcement, Execution, or Self-Defense, which was published in the Journal of Applied Philosophy, assassination, it turns out, can be more or less perfectly legal.
What?
And he writes, he's got a nuanced take on it. We thought the best way to do this would be to give you an excerpt from this paper.
And he writes, quote, international law does not ban assassination unequivocally, but instead prohibits perfidy, which is the word of the day, I think we can agree, or those acts that abuse the protections that the laws of armed conflict guarantee. Common examples of perfidy include attacking from under the protection of a white flag or harming combatants who lay down their arms. These protections are integral to modern warfare and underlie the conventions of surrender. Without them, war would end only in extermination or the proverbial fight to the death. Assassination is perfidious only insofar as it abuses these or similar protections. But really quickly, Ben, I just wanted to add, like, this is basically just saying, okay, you have to follow some basic rules.
Yeah,
but rules the of only engagement. Thing governing following those rules is our agreement to follow those rules, both sides. Once that breaks down, then it's chaos. And that a lot of that depends on who has the upper hand in terms of weaponry. Are we truly gentlemen when it comes down to achieving total dominance? I don't know. I think probably not.
Or escaping our own death, right?
Right. Of course.
That's a fascinating concept.
Yeah. So basically, the world has agreed that assassination is fine. You know what I mean? It's fine so long as you obey certain rules.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
It's basically everyone saying, look, Look, you can try and assassinate us. We're gonna try and assassinate you. Cool? Okay, cool. Just don't pretend like you're not gonna assassinate us and then assassinate us. Does that make sense? Cool. All right, cool.
Right. Yeah. Being perfidious means being deceitful or untrustworthy. So it's a very difficult thing to enforce. And that's probably a big part of why modern history is riddled with, and to no small degree, shaped by assassinations. Think about it. Like in Russia alone, 5 emperors were assassinated within less than 200 years. And I think in the case of Nicholas II, his family was assassinated too. That fundamentally altered the course of Russian history and therefore, I would argue, world history. The most notable assassination victims in U.S. history tend to be civil rights activists like Martin Luther King, or sitting U.S. presidents. President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. 3 other U.S. presidents also died by assassins, James Garfield, William McKinley, and John F. Kennedy. That one is probably still the most controversial in recent history. In Europe, as we mentioned in episode 1, the assassination of an archduke named Franz Ferdinand by the Black Hand, which we also mentioned, triggered World War I.
Wasn't the Black Hand a Serbian group or nationalist Serb insurgents, I believe, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if you listen to or watch one of our earlier episodes about the Black Hand, the story is so amazing. History hinges on such small things. The guy responsible for the assassination actually screwed it up the first time and only got to Franz Ferdinand by accident.
Well, it's interesting. We're seeing stuff like that, not with assassinations necessarily, but certainly in the moment, it's hard to see what that match strike is that sets off the series of events. But in the times that we're living in, it could certainly be something like the killing of George Floyd. You know, that could be looked back on as that powder keg ignition point, you know, something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's tantalizing, and it is also tricky to say how history would have played out if these and other murders had not occurred. I mean, look at World War I. The stage was already set for World War I on multiple levels. So you could argue that if Ferdinand had not been assassinated, another assassination or another conflict could have sparked the flame. And Abraham Lincoln, at the time of his death, watching My American Cousin in the Ford Theater, he had already made a lasting impact on the United States and so on and so on. We'll never know what would have happened had these murder victims been allowed to live out their natural lifespan.
I want to just add one, sorry, before you keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
John F. Kennedy's brother, I feel like his assassination is one of those things that on the cusp of possibly becoming president could have actually changed the course of history more than any sitting president being assassinated.
That's a really good point, Matt, because I was going to ask Ben, what in your opinion was the goal in assassinating Kennedy, and did we see results?
Oh, geez.
Boy, this is,
if we had to simplify it to a political end game situation for whatever group. Well, again, because we probably think it was maybe the government itself. I mean, there's so many. That's such a can of worms. But I was wondering what you think. I don't know. Or what would be one possible reason?
Oh, man. This is one for all of us and for those of us listening along at home. We have gone back and forth in this for years. It's tough.
I would say go back and listen to like 4 episodes we've done on JFK's assassination.
Or it just comes up
in
episodes or when we used to all hang out in person, we would be talking about, you know, a film we liked. And then 20 minutes later, we're back to JFK.
Listen to the Harmontown episode that we were on.
Oh, that's right.
We have a great discussion about all of that.
That was a good. Yeah. No, I guess I just mean in terms, I'm thinking about it more in the framework of assassinations as like a tool, you know, right. And there's obviously all kinds of different end games. Some people might just assassinate somebody because they don't like them or they disagree with their politics, or it could be more specific, like to achieve something that they know is brewing in legislation. But we also know that the president is not nearly as powerful as one would like to think. So it's not, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an arguable thing.
Well, I just mean in terms of like actually pushing through legislation if Congress is out of balance. Like right now, it's
yeah, but who needs legislation when you've got the executive order, my man?
Well, that's true, right. Too. That's true, too.
We'll see how effective those things are as well. Just short answer, the benefit of killing President Kennedy, it's multiple, because you could say some groups in the U.S. government, I'm not accusing them of doing it, but some groups in the U.S. government benefited from losing one of the most powerful opponents to their plans for Castro in Cuba. You could also say Lyndon Johnson benefited by becoming president. You could also say the USSR benefited by seeing a powerful blow to the ideology of Western democracy and capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful to say, Putin, if you're listening.
He's a fan. He's into the show.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't open the mail he sends, though, which I know is like probably maybe profiling.
Handle it with one of those like grabber claws, you know, like keep it out.
That all right. Says not polonium.
Right. Please send all complaints to our 24/7 complaint department here, especially for you. That's Jonathan Strickland at iHeartRadio.com. So we know that these assassinations continue as a tool, as a mechanism. It continues because it is effective, right? We're in the realm of practicality, no matter how it is sold to a given public or a given audience. If something doesn't work, then an intelligence apparatus, a corporation, or a government will try to find a better method. There's not really a better method than assassination in certain cases. That's why during the Cold War, we see this massive increase in the number of political assassinations specifically. And just like assassinations of old, this was probably due to the stark ideological differences between what were called the First and Second Worlds. Quick myth busting, if we haven't talked about this before, when you hear things like Third World Country or Second World Country, First World, that's a Cold War relic. That's not about income or inequality. What the First World was pitched as the world of democracy and capitalism, Second World being the world of communism, right? And the Third World was just a phrase that was used to describe unaligned countries. And it transformed over time. So now when you hear people say Third World country in the West, they're not talking about ideology. They're talking about developmental status. Anyway, these people on either side of this ideological divide, the world superpowers, were more than willing to not only put out a successful assassination operations, they're also more than willing to publicly justify these killings, to finance them and take care of the people they sent out to do it. And eventually, both sides started to realize this practice may have a diminishing return. That's why many modern countries nowadays, between now and the age of the assassins, they've taken legal steps, at least in theory, to ban this practice. And I think this is what you're getting to, Matt, with executive orders, right?
Well, yeah, in any executive order, really. It's just a handy tool to have there in the Oval Office. And so many presidents have wielded it in terrifying ways.
Not to mention, this is something I totally glossed over when I was talking earlier, the ability to install lifetime lawmakers on the Supreme Court, which is a pretty serious power move.
Yeah, it is. But, however, we are not speaking of that. We are speaking of a 1976 executive order put forth by Gerald Ford. Old Gerald Ford. If you were a fan of SNL back in the day, you probably very much like Gerald Ford. I do.
Was that
just from the impressions?
That was Ferrell, right?
No, when I was watching it, it was not Farrell.
Is it Hartman?
Those of you who know. It was Executive Order 12333. Isn't that fun? Or 12333. That's a fun way to say it. And it says, or at least in part says, no person employed by or acting on behalf of the United States government shall engage in or conspire to engage in assassination. There, done. Ha ha, we won't do it.
Really simple language, too. Like, mm-hmm. That's very explicit, and it seems somewhat definitive. But, okay, so the thing about Executive Order 12333, or 12333, is that it's not as altruistic as it sounds if you just hear that part where they say, okay, no more daggers in the dark. This is the same executive order that authorized the expansion of data collection and surveillance. It's been cited by the NSA, the National Security Agency, as the legal foundation for its work in collecting unencrypted information flowing through data centers. Like, that's, this order is why the NSA says it's totally fine to intercept information from Google, Yahoo, and so on. So we can't mistake it for 100% goody-two-shoes stuff. But in any case, if you still think, oh, great, go Uncle Sam, no more assassination, we do need to point out that under George W. Bush's administration, this executive order was, diplomatic way to say it, relaxed. When we say relaxed, you know, it's a situation where they said, look, there are different kinds of good, you know? There's the day-to-day good.
No.
Yeah, there's the individual good.
Yeah.
And there are some things that are great. And a greater good sometimes requires things that seem like small evils. Anyway, guys, remember, we're doing this for you. You know what I mean? That's how it went. And that's the question for today. Has the world moved on from this grisly, perfidious, insidious practice? With so many countries officially banning these activities to one degree or another, how do we respond to those who allege assassinations continue in the modern day? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsors.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Here's where it gets crazy. Okay. If we're responding to someone who says, hey, I think assassinations continue in the modern day, and if we're responding objectively and honestly, the only thing we can do is agree. We can only agree 100%. In fact, assassinations don't just continue apace. They're a huge business. They are a vital piece of geopolitical, corporate, and sometimes even religious networks. And they come in several different types, but you'll recognize these if you've listened to episode one of this series.
Yeah. The stuff we talked about in episode one, all of the motivations, the reasoning behind using assassination tactics, it all applies to modern assassinations, all of it. There are generally a few reasons. Let's outline them here of why assassinations occur in the modern day. One, you're going to eliminate some kind of military commander from an opposing threat, an opposing army, right? You're doing that to destabilize that military, like lop the head off so that other generals or whoever else exists there has to move up, and maybe they don't know the strategies as well as that person that you killed does. And we talked about the assassination of the Iranian general rather recently, the United States assassination of the Iranian general, and how even the use of the term assassination was contentious at the time. Was it just an act of war? Was it, you know, an extrajudicial killing?
It's interesting. It sort of fizzled a little bit because there was a while when that happened where an ambassador from Iran was being very vocal about how this was an outright act of war, an outright act of aggression, an assassination of a beloved official, you know? And there were people, interviews on NPR and stuff, or people in the streets just saying that America had overstepped and that it was absolutely, you know, an outright act of aggression. And then that story kind of disappeared because I remember hearing it and it seemed so intense. I was like, oh God, have we done a thing that we cannot go back from? Like, have we really let the badger out of the bag at this point?
Right.
Well, you know what it could have been? Instead of, you know, anything else, it could have been the U.S. military sending a good old-fashioned message.
Ah, yes, that's another type of modern assassination. This is the one, and Vlad, if you're listening, I think you'll enjoy this. This is the one I like to call From Russia with Love. Think of the polonium murders. The Russian intelligence apparatus knew this substance would be a clear indication of their involvement at some level, or the involvement of someone who was involved with them. But they also knew it would occur in a way that was difficult to trace and very difficult to publicly prosecute, right? It's kind of a finger along the nose, wink, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good luck with your journalism degree, buddy.
Oh, God. Don't do that. No.
So, okay, we could be more conspiratorial, talking about sending a message. Did everybody else forget? I only knew about this from doing Strange News Daily. Did everybody else forget that time a few months ago when Russian doctors just kept falling out of windows?
Oh, yeah.
During the coronavirus?
Scientists.
Like a new defenestration of Prague, almost, kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, scientists around the globe for the past couple of decades have been dropping off.
Which we still haven't done an episode on. That's right. We should do that. A third type of modern assassination is to eliminate internal competition. Tale as old as time. Think of violent regimes that are inherently unstable, some and pretty often family-led. North Korean leadership has assassinated internal competitors that might have later proven to be challengers to the throne or challengers to the line of succession. In the days of the Ottoman Empire, which I know is a little old for this example, but in the days of the Ottoman Empire, it was also common for people to kill their siblings. There can only be one sultan, you know what I mean? And we have to think about coups, so common in recent history. Don't get reported near as often as they should. Definitely don't get reported as they're occurring. These assassination attempts are, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with who owns the motivation for an action, who in their mind is pulling the trigger and turning the assassin into just a tool. These assassination attempts and coups, they're often incited by a foreign power. And I know that makes most of us think of the U.S. and South America or something. That's true. That's a great example. But we need to also think of corporations, especially in the great game of resource extraction. They're seeking to, they don't really care about the motivation of the individual assassin or the people doing the coup. They just want a government or a regime that is more pliable to their goals. You see this in South America. You see it all over the African continent. You see it in Central Asia. The list goes on.
What was the banana company that we talked
United
about?
United Fruit.
United Fruit. Oh. United Fruit, man. Brutal.
1954. And that's, I mean, it's a business. I don't think it's unfair to refer to this as the as an industry. So when we look at the modern assassination industry, we see examples that clearly prove assassination is ongoing. It exists on multiple levels in the world, and a lot of people are involved. A ton of people are involved.
Yeah, and we have to caveat this a little bit and use some swishy air quotes around the word terrorism here, because as we know, it's a term, a pejorative term. Oftentimes, it's used in political rhetoric to brand an opposing force as somehow like, you know, the bad guys. When, you know, one person's terrorist, another person's freedom fighter, or what have you. We've said this many times in the past. It's all about which side of the conflict that you're on. But those referred to as terrorists, regardless of any ideology, clearly and on a regular basis, deploy these kinds of tactics. The date as far back as the Hashishim clan of ancient times that we talked about in the first part of this series. They have to elevate a powerful individual leader, again, by merit, insane idea, infiltrate a network or attack without regard to personal safety, be willing to die for their cause, for their mark, disregard any possible collateral damage, civilians, non-military structures, you know, infrastructure, gatherings, events, it's all in service of the target. And the attacks are often motivated by strong personal beliefs. So this is a little bit different than our idea of a hired gun. You know, these are very personal, personally motivated attacks around ideology. A lot of oftentimes,
even if they're just personally motivated by that leader, whoever that powerful individual leader is, and then those beliefs are imparted onto the group.
Right? It is almost in a cult-like fashion at times. You know what I mean? If someone has this magnetism, we often see this with suicide bombers who perhaps aren't really invested personally, but they've been either, I hate that term brainwashed. It seems so divisive. But, you know, you often hear of stories of women who have been forced to become suicide bombers by their husbands, or, you know, because of this hierarchy of like an individual wielding this kind of authority over people's very minds and actions.
Yeah. If you want to say indoctrinated or radicalized, those are similar terms, you know, but with that list of commonalities that you gave us here, let's all pause for a second and think back on just how many international murders of notable journalists, activists, politicians, criminals, and business tycoons fit the bill here. This stuff is happening, and it probably will happen again. One quick example, close to home here in Fort Benning, Georgia, there's something that was once upon a time called the School of the Americas. Its opponents called it the School of Assassins, and they did so for a reason. It was established in 1946 in the U.S.-controlled Panama Canal Zone as the Latin American Center Ground Division. Pretty innocuous name, but it's called the School of Assassins in reference to their specific training programs, which appear to, and we're being overly fair here, they appear to advocate actions that are in direct violation of that executive order we mentioned earlier, 12333.
Yeah, and again, established in 1946, so that executive order went through in 76, so it's 46 to 76.
Right.
30 years. It's really interesting stuff. I can't remember if we did a whole podcast episode on it. I know we did a video on this, and we've done quite a bit of research on the place. But School of the Americas, fascinating. So let's go to Major Joseph Blair, who was a former instructor at the school. He said, quote, "The author of SOA, the School of Americas, and CIA torture manuals drew from intelligence materials used during the Vietnam War that advocated assassination, torture, extortion, and other techniques."
Techniques.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. How is that not illegal, even in 46?
Yeah. That's the thing. So to put a fine point on it, the School of Americas is taking people from other countries and training them to be insurgents, right? To be direct action operatives.
To be coup makers.
To be coup makers, yeah. Or coup kings. So
A bunch of kooks.
Yeah, right? A bunch of coups. So, d'etat aside, there is internal reasoning here. And the internal reasoning on Uncle Sam's side and for proponents of the School of Americas was something like, well, yeah, oversight regulations and prohibitions, those things are important. I get it. You get it, right? Those things are important for U.S. personnel. They don't apply to foreign officers. They're not part of our government. We can't really tell them what to do under U.S. law. To wit, what that means is we are not actually committing assassinations. Instead, we're just helping some friendly forces from foreign lands figure out how to do the right thing, you know.
If, the right murders.
If something happens, right? If something happens. Or if something needs to happen. And so that's the idea. It's kind of like Five Eyes gets around the laws against domestic surveillance, right, of your own population, because now it's not Uncle Sam telling on its citizens. Now it's the UK. So now we're just getting mail from some friends. You know what I mean? This also gives us plausible deniability in case one of those graduates of the School of Americas goes rogue and commits human rights atrocities. During his time as president, Jimmy Carter temporarily suspended the use of those training manuals because the administration was concerned over what they called, again, possible human rights violations. And again, we see the specter of the greater good.
No, not that, not again. But yeah, you know, our Georgia boy, Jimmy Carter, he believed that the international military education and training that was being provided there at the School of the Americas, and several other institutions, by the way, several other places that were for training and like that, he thought it was critical to furthering, quote, the national interests of the United States, which in a way it was and is. Having that kind of tool at your disposal kind of is integral to national interests.
Right.
Ugh.
Like with the U.S. actions in Libya leading to the fall of Gaddafi, it was national interest, right? So those training manuals, which explicitly tell you how to torture people, how to assassinate people, and so on.
I think I've got them on my computer somewhere from the other episode.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Our search histories.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. So those manuals, by the way, were reintroduced. That's why I said they were temporarily suspended. They were reintroduced to the school's training curriculum by the Reagan administration in 1982. Currently, the School of America still exists. It just changed its name. It's WINSEC, under the William J. Perry Center for Hemispheric Defense Studies. Don't worry, though, everybody. They say they have a much more rigorous element of human rights training in the program. So good on us, you know. Good hustle, team.
Yeah. Yep. Good on us. And we have to point out that there are a number of graduates from the School of the Americas back in the day and now WINSEC that have been accused of doing things. Really bad things that they were trained to do in those places, and they have even been sentenced for human rights violations and criminal activity in their home countries. So come on over, get some training. It'll be really fun. Here's your manuals, and then go back to your home country.
There's going to be snacks. We're going to have craft services. You guys will be all well taken care of.
Sure. And then they're going to do these crimes. And you can find online a couple of places where there are lists of people who have graduated from these schools and these training programs who then did later crimes. You can see the crimes that they were accused of later, both alleged, by the way, and some proved. And there are numerous databases where you can find this information, actually.
Yeah. Check out the School of America's Watch if you want to see the prize bad apples of this program. And again, you know, this is not to say, I feel like we have to say this, not to say that every graduate of the School of Americas instantly went off and became warlord, but several did. And to say otherwise is equally disingenuous. So we have not only, in this nation, we have not only taken lessons learned from that ancient sect of assassins and from earlier assassin training programs in Vietnam, in the USSR, and so on. We have built what is often called a training program for this sort of behavior, not too different from Alamut Castle itself all those years ago. And that's just a very high level look at the modern state of assassinations today. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about the future of assassination.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back.
Drones, baby.
Yo, woo! Yo, look, we're gonna talk about drones, and drones are the scariest part of this assassination business that exists out there. But I think we should just quickly mention that militaries across the world have elite soldiers and operators.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking of something like the Navy SEALs or Green Berets.
Delta. Yeah,
exactly. So people who are teams that go out early, right? And if there's going to be a conflict or if there's something perhaps going to arise somewhere, teams that will go out there and that have the ability, or at least are trained, I would say, with the ability to take out someone the way an assassin would. Of course, I've never been in either of those, and correct me if I'm completely wrong, I just feel like that would be a very smart thing to have in, you know, in the tool belt of anyone who is, you know, a SEAL or a Green Beret or one of those elite, and maybe even a Ranger. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. The U.S. gets beat up on for this a lot, or singled out for it, because the U.S. has multiple versions of this. These operators are highly trained professionals. And it is openly admitted that they use their training in what are called targeted killings or extraction missions as well from unfriendly territory. But a ton of other nations have them too. You know what I mean? It's the kind of thing where if you're a superpower and someone has that capacity and you do not, then there is a defense gap. You have to have something like this. That's why there's Spetsnaz. That's why Mossad exists. I mean, pretty
CIA,
much any, any country that has international reach or global interest is going to have some sort of analog to those things. And there, maybe we should do an episode on those because they are fascinating.
Yeah, I'd love to just to pause here for a moment. I'd love to hear from anyone out there who can talk to us, who has experience as essentially an elite military operator. Just to know, even if that's, maybe that's a completely wrong thing to say, just a unit within a team that would be considered elite.
Yeah. And they do a lot of, we know, of course, it's not all cloak and dagger assassination. As we said, there are extraction missions. There are also protection and escort missions. But yeah, there's a wealth of stuff out there. We need to do this episode, and we would love to hear from you if you have firsthand experience in this regard. A lot of those special forces also, I'm so glad you pointed that out, Matt. A lot of the special forces also collaborate with drone technology.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Which is the Skynet elephant in the room. And again, Matt, thank you for putting in that important piece we missed, because as you can tell, both Noel and I are always excited to talk drones. Modern governments are super into the strategy of changing names and terms to avoid controversial language and public statements. That's why Blackwater became Academy or whatever. That's why Comcast became Xfinity.
That's why Clear Channel became iHeart.
That's why George Carlin was such a successful comedian, because of euphemisms.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And so we see a name change there with assassination, targeted killing. Named killing.
Even drones, they refer to more as UAVs now, right? Because that's a little more innocuous than drones. Drones sounds very futury and sinister. When I think of a drone, I think of something scary coming to kill me.
Right. You can hide a lot of evil behind some acronyms or initialisms. UAV just means unmanned aerial vehicle. A kite is a UAV.
That's right. Yes.
Kind of? Is it?
Yeah, there's no one driving. It's unmanned.
You're right. The string is the same thing. It's just a physical version of the connection between the drone and the controller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the argument I would make. But targeted killing as a euphemism is a form of assassination carried out by governments against their perceived enemies. So it's important here to note that this is seen as a subgenre of assassination applicable only to governments. So you can't go into court as an individual, or you shouldn't be able to go into court as like an individual or a representative of a religious institution or corporation and say, you know, yes, I am the In-N-Out Burger assassin. And this was a targeted killing at an Arby's, and that was for the greater good. They are enemies of In-N-Out Burger. You can't say stuff like that. You can only do it if you're a government, because then you can argue there's a greater good. I mean, think of weaponized drones as the robo version of those ancient assassins. They have a lot in common. The two big things they have in common, they're relentless, and they don't care about self-preservation.
Ooh.
And there's an old man in a mountain controlling them somewhere. No,
and now it's NORAD.
Yeah.
it's not really NORAD, but yeah, I love that. Like, they're also very effective at killing, but they're probably less, it's so weird. They're probably less precise than the assassins of old.
Yeah. The assassin of old used a blade up close to take someone out. This sends a missile generally, a missile that causes collateral damage almost every time it's used.
Well, a not infrequent number of times. I mean, the scary thing about the Toast of London scene that you alluded to earlier, Noel, is, again, it doesn't come out a whole cloth, or there wasn't just some clever person in the writer's room. According to statistical analyses by some nonprofits, including nonprofit organization called Reprieve, which is composed of international lawyers and investigators, nine children have been killed for every targeted adult the United States has tried to assassinate since programs like this began.
Oh, cool. I'm okay with that. No, I'm not okay with that. Insane.
Yeah, it's really
unforgivable. There's a non-offensive sounding term for that. It's collateral damage. It takes the humanity out of the equation when you're not actually having to wield the knife yourself. You know, you're doing it from such a remove.
Mistakes were made, right?
Mm.
What's the common complaint for people in online gaming? It's not me who messed up. It's the lag time. It's the connection, right?
That's right?
So maybe as someone has blamed collateral damage on that in the past, but it doesn't make these civilians magically resurrected, you know? Like, Reprieve also found that in the course of attempting to kill one Ayman al-Zawahiri, the U.S., specifically the CIA, is believed to have killed 76 children and 29 adult bystanders.
And Ben, you know, this would have been under the Obama administration, wouldn't it?
Correct.
He's so lauded and held up as this like shining example of like a great president. And there's obviously a lot of great things about him. First of all, he could speak in complete sentences, which was pretty dope. But he oversaw massive amounts of these kinds of attacks that resulted in this sort of collateral damage. And people don't gloss over that entirely, but it certainly doesn't seem to be the first bullet point on his resume, right?
Well, it increased. The use of UAVs and drones increased so much under President Obama. It's really disturbing, considering we entered, you know, what was called the war on terror from the previous administration, when we were actively, you know, starting wars, and then it only increased. And it's likely a function of the technology improving, right? I mean, and it has by leaps and bounds. And even now, as they have been for, gosh, 2 decades now, scholars and military officials, politicians, people like you, me, everyone else, we're divided on the use of drones and UAVs and targeted killings, named killings, whatever you want to refer to them as, because, I mean, it is complicated, right? Some supporters of using drones would say that it's actually more humane to do this. It's safer for military personnel on whichever side is doing the killing or attacking. And, you know, you're not just sending in a bunch of troops, let's say, to try and kill a group of people or even a team of people, then where you're going to have multiple people firing. You've got maybe one, maybe two, maximum a handful of drones that are going in to kill someone. Generally, it's one that is literally going in to kill someone. You know, the other thing that would be stated, I think, by someone who supports this is that these drone attacks aren't going to be done in a time of peace against any nation that we're not at war with, right?
See, that's the thing. It's true, supporters do say that, but recent events have conclusively proven this not to be the case. That's where we come up with another euphemism for assassinations. Extrajudicial killings, right? Outside of the law, which are, you know, technically banned by the U.S. military code. This leads us to a troubling conclusion. We have to explore the future of assassination. What we've sadly proven here is the following. It appears it does not matter what laws are written. You write as many as you want. Say whatever you want, as explicitly or as obliquely as you please. These laws do not matter if they are not continually enforced. And the truth of the matter is that they are not continually enforced. Assassination is effective. It may not be effective in terms of counterterrorism. It's arguably terrible PR, but it works for what people want it to do. And in the future, we're only going to see more increasingly sophisticated uses of these tactics. Newer, more advanced drones, increasingly effective poisoning, delivery systems and substances. Importantly, and this is what we should all think about, they're also going to be increasingly sophisticated, nuanced rationalizations for assassination, increasingly sophisticated ways of hiding the hand that ultimately triggered the thing, right?
So, dude, yeah.
The front organizations are going to be tough. The war of information and narrative will only continue to evolve. And as always, one thing will remain the same. Both the assassins and their masters will argue this is necessary for, you guessed it, the greater good. And so today we end our episode with questions for you. What do you think the future of assassination holds?
Yeah, will the killings continue specifically in any of the ways we've described?
Will they increase?
Will corporate, political, and religious actors be held accountable for their actions?
And if so, by whom? Some international group?
Yeah,
maybe. A corporation?
Let us know. Are you one of these puppeteers, you know, pulling the strings of all of these, you know, hidden assassins in our midst? Let us know. You can. We'll keep your secrets, buddy. We promise. Write to us. You can reach us on the social media channels of note, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. Our preferred means is our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, where you can be part of the conversation with your fellow conspiracy realists.
That's right. If you don't want to do that, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook on the other side at Conspiracy Stuff. And on Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Of course, visit us on YouTube, youtube.com/conspiracystuff. If you are not given to sip the social meds, no worries. We have a phone number for you. You can call us at 1-833-STDWYTK. You'll have 3 minutes on your call. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know your experience. Give us your feedback on this series or suggestions for topics you think your fellow listeners will find of interest. Most importantly, let us know if it's okay to use your voice and your name on air.
That's right. If you don't want to do any of those things, you can still write to us. You can contact us. Ben, Noel, and I, and Paul will see it. Send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.